Well, good evening. It is good to see everyone this evening. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. I had a conversation recently with a guy that he said he's going through a difficult time. He said, the question I keep asking is, why me? And I said, well, are you a Christian? And he said, well, yes, Corey, I'm a member of the church. I'm a preacher. Okay? And I said, then why are we asking that question in the way that we are? And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, you're pretty negative. And he said, well, it's not fun what I'm going through. And I said, well, who else would you rather it happen to? I said, I think that we could all agree that when people we know go through difficult times, especially when it's, I think about our kids, I would gladly take whatever they have, whatever they're dealing with, so that they didn't have to, right? We'd love to do that. We'd love to do that for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And he said, what are you getting at? And this is the first place that I went to that I thought of. And I want you to think about these words. We're going to begin in verse 1 of Isaiah 6. And I want you to think about you for just a minute. I want you to picture things that are going on. Because there's something that afterwards, when we do announcements, I'd like to be that guy, if that's okay. I know you're going to do the table. But I'd just like to talk about something. Because I think about it this way. When we think about ourselves and getting to be a child of God and all the things that go with that and come with that, I want you to picture Isaiah for just a moment here and put yourself in his shoes. I know it's not always the easiest thing, but I want you to think about this and just put yourself in his shoes for a minute. Isaiah 6, beginning in verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now, above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. It's taken away. It's cut off. It's destroyed. It's gone. It's been atoned for. That's what he's getting at. I want you to picture your Isaiah for a second. You're able to see the throne room of God, and God is sitting on the throne. And you're able to see his glory and his might and his power. You're able to see him glorified and lifted up in all of his glory, and how amazing and incredible truly it would be to be able to see God in this way. Isaiah says, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. There is sin in my life. There are things that I have done in my life that should not allow me to see what I'm able to see at this moment. And one of those seraphim flying, they take a pair of tongs, and in front of the throne is that altar, and they take one of those coals and they touch it to his lips, and he tells him, your sins are atoned for. And God has taken them away. In talking to this brother in Christ, he's talking about the things that he's facing, the things that he's dealing with. And he asked me, so what do you mean? What are you getting at? And I said, well, why not you? Why not you? And I have to admit, I don't know that this is the attitude that I always have. This is not always the way I think about things. It's always when you're late and running behind. And it's nobody's fault but mine, right? But it's those days. A farmer with a tractor. Or somebody slow. And we think, why me? Why not me? Why not me? Because I'm the one who should show them the most patience as a child of God. When we have things that happen in our lives and things that take place, well, why not us? Because we get to show the world then what it is to deal with these situations and these difficulties and hard times exactly as God would have us to. So why not us? I want you to have that thought in mind of why not us, and continue on here in verse number 8 of Isaiah 6. He says, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. You see, that is our attitude, or what our attitude should look like every day. Here am I, send me. Let me go. Let me take your word to the world. Let me be the one to show you living in my life. Let me be the one who gets to have Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. That mind that is in Christ also gets to be in me. Let that mind dwell in me. Meaning to fill me up. Let that be what others get to see in me. Let that be the example that the world gets to see. Why not me? Here am I. Send me. Let me go. Let me deal with those things. Let me have those things that other people won't be able to handle. And again, I think about today, Addison is sick. She got sick yesterday, and I should probably just give you fist bumps. Now, I quarantined her, right? We've tried to stay away from her because I don't want that junk. It's disgusting. It's awful. Although I would take it from her if I could in an instant so she didn't have to have it. But when we turn our mindset around to be different than the world says, woe is me. The world says, why me? The child of God should never have that mindset. Instead, it should be, I'm going to be able to glorify God. And how can I do that in everything that I face, in everything that I deal with? In Acts 26 and verse 15, or Acts 16 and verse 25, I believe, you have Paul and Silas who have been thrown into prison. What are they doing? Singing and praising God. Not, woe is me, or how come this is happening to me? Just, how can I glorify you? And I think about this mindset that Isaiah has in being able to see God, in being able to see His throne and vision, and be able to see those things that are taking place around him, to see that, notice here what takes place in verse 3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. You know that we get to be those that help to exemplify that, that show that and demonstrate it by the way that we live. We are called to be holy, right? Multiple times in multiple places. Jesus, in fact, in Matthew chapter 5, He tells us what we are to do for our enemies, beginning there in verse 43. And He tells us that we are to be perfect. We are to be like our Father in heaven. We're to be mature. We're to act like He would have us to. In Ephesians 5 and verse number 1, we are to be imitators of God as dear children. And so therefore, that's what I get to help people see. And every single day, I get to show that and demonstrate that in my life. And I oftentimes think about our kids and the things that they face, the things that they go through. And yet, they're the ones that, growing up in a Christian home, a godly home, they're the ones that help get to, again, show that example of who Christ is. Because that's how we're raising them to be. We're raising them to be Christians, children of God. But you and I first, and this is really what I want you to focus on this evening. Those that are in the midst of God's throne room talk about how holy He is. And we think about God and how incredible it is to be a child of His. We have that same attitude at times in realizing and understanding who he is in verse 5, woe is me, for I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And Isaiah says, I've seen the Lord of hosts. Have you seen how great God is in your life? How incredible it is to be called a child of God, to know how awesome it is that we get to be a part of the body of Christ, his church, his bride, that's who we get to be. And we think about the place that we live, that I live in the world, but the world does not live in me. And instead, what I get to demonstrate, what I get to show, is I want to be the one to be able to go forth. Why not me? And tonight, I want you to think about that as we look at a few of these scenarios and things that at times we may perhaps find ourselves in. Why not me? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Beginning in verse 6. Actually, we'll back up to verse 5. But most of them, God was not pleased, were not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Do not become idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition, our teaching, right? These are things that we can learn from, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now think about those temptations, those things that I would find myself in. And looking back and seeing that there's not anything we're going to face that others before us have not faced. And we look and at times you see those who have given in to those temptations. Perhaps we think of David and Bathsheba. And the fact that he had given in to that temptation is also we think about those that because of the things they had seen. You think about Moses, for instance, who, as he's leading the children of Israel, he decides that he and Aaron are equal to God and we have to take care of you and make sure that you have all that you need. And so he puts himself on that equal level with God instead of hallowing God and holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. And God has to teach him a lesson in that he is not going to enter into the promised land. Because he put himself there. Isaiah says, woe is me. I think times we need to remember that we too have those same temptations that we face. And we realize in places like Hebrews 4 and verse 15 that Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He overcame all of those. And guess what? Romans 3:23 tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And while I may have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, it doesn't mean that I can't pick myself right back up because of the blood of Christ, and I can march right on walking with him. Understanding and realizing that my life is going to be filled with difficulties. There are going to be temptations and things that I face, but I don't need to build myself up to be equal to God. I need to remember who I am and who he is, and that he is the one who gets me through. Not me, he does. He gets me through those things. And so there are those times that we need to remember. Everybody else is going to face the same things. Everybody else is going to go through the same things that we go through. If you look with me at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Notice what Peter has to say about those things that we face and our brethren too. Beginning in verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Why is that important? Well, look back at verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he's the one who lifts us up. Casting all your care upon him, verse 7, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody goes through them. You know, I was very thankful. Now, this brother, I will tell you, lives several hundred miles away. As we talked, these are the things that we kept talking about and kept coming up, things to say that, hey man, I'm sorry for what you're going through, I'm sorry for what you are dealing with, but yet, with God, we can overcome everything. You looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you can be turning there if you would. You think about those things that are being suffered all over the place. He had just returned from a mission trip and he said, there are so many things that they are facing, so many things that they are going through, so many things that I wish that I could just take away from them and help them with. And I said, what did you remind them of? He laughed and he said, you know what I reminded them of? It's the same thing I remind them of every time. Beginning here in verse number 50, 1 Corinthians 15, he said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That victory comes in Christ. Revelation 1 and verse number 18, Jesus speaking there to John says, I have the keys to death and to Hades. Meaning, I'm the one. I went there. I died on the cross. I walked out, unlocked the door, overcame death and Hades, and because of that, we can do the same. That victory is in him. I said, so what do we have to look forward to? He smiled and he said, you know, I just got done having a conversation with one of the brethren where I was, and that brother has been given his terminal disease. He's been given what we would call maybe perhaps the worst news, right? The day that Sunday that it was announced that Billy passed away. We were sad, right? What else were we? I'm so jealous of him. Why? Because of what he's seeing right now, the victory that he received. You see, we all get to have that same victory. The same thing. Why not me? Why not me? Why not let me have those opportunities to be able to tell people how incredible it is to be a child of God? Why not me? Why not let me go through those difficulties? Why not let me face those things? Why not let me have that guy that pulled out in front of me? Why not let me have that customer who decided to scream at me? Why not me? Because I'm the one who gets to show them what it is to be a child of God. I'm the one who knows how holy, holy, holy he is. I know how incredible he is and what he does in my life. So why not me? Why not let me face those things? Why not let me show them to others? Because ultimately, is this right here not what we want? Not just for us, but for everybody. The victory that comes in Christ.
that victory of the one who overcame death in Hades, the one who opened the door and walked out and says, I want this for you. Write these things down. Why do you think Revelation 2 and 3 are such a big deal to read through and look at those congregations? Because all Jesus is desiring is you get right with me. And so what does Isaiah want when he stands there and God is saying, who will go for us? And he says, right here. Here am I, send me. Right here. And he's going to have to go to them. He's going to have to talk to them. And you know, he's going to face so many trials from his own countrymen, his own people, the same people who claim to love that same God. He's going to face difficulty from them. But all he knows is this. There's a victory that comes. And that victory for us is only found in Christ Jesus. That's the only place that we can find it. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so what I would ask you this evening is this. When you start to have those moments where it feels like everything is closing in, stop for just a moment and back up and look at the situation and say this. Well, who else would I want to face that? I listen to the phrase people use from time to time, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. And you know, a lot of times, you know what we use that around? Simple things like the common cold. I don't know what this sickness is, but I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. So why would we even begin to think, why me? Why not me? And send me. Let me go. Let me deal with that. Let me help. Let me see what I can do. Let me have that same example, the same mindset of men like Paul and Silas to sing praises. Let me have the mindset that God would expect me to say, in anything that I'm going to face, I'm never going to face it alone because I'm going to face it with God. He's the one that gets me through it. Why in the world would I ever think that I would be alone? Because I have some of the most precious people on the face of the earth to help me. I have my brethren. I have those of like precious faith. You know, oftentimes I think that we stop telling somebody something or saying something out loud to people because maybe, perhaps, they'd think we were bragging. And shame on us if we think that. Who better to share with? Who better to let people know? What better people is there than the church, the body of Christ, to talk to and to let people know not just the things, the difficulties, and I hope that you always share those. But why not the great things? Why not the exciting things that are going on as well? So that we can rejoice with those things. You know, Romans 12:15 tells us to, first and foremost, rejoice with those who rejoice, and then weep with those who weep. We need to be happy with one another. Yeah, we can be sad. We can share in suffering. And we want to. We have to bear one another's burdens over and over throughout the Scriptures. Especially Paul will write those words. Bear one another's burdens. Be there for one another. He tells us in Galatians 6, beginning in verse 1, that we are to be spiritual to help one another when somebody falls. Be there to bear one another's burden. Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of Christ. Why not me? Why not me? I'll take the good, I'll take the bad. Why not me? To be able to show people how to handle both of those things. Why not? What's your mindset look like? The first and foremost thing you have to do, go back to Isaiah 6, please. Have this mindset. And yes, you can look at Philippians 2 and verse 5 to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But you know, before I can even have that type of mindset,
Look at verse 5.
Woe is me, for I am undone. Why? Because I am a man of unclean lips. And where do I live? I dwell among a people, a nation of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That's who I've gotten to see. That's who I've gotten to serve. And you may say, well, Corey, I've never had that vision to see God in all of His glory. No, but isn't it going to be great to see that someday? To see Him as He is. The only way I'm going to get to is if I live for Him every day. If I do what He would have me to do. But the first thing I have to do is to have that same mind. To hallow Him. Put Him in His proper place. Remember my place. That I serve Him. And I need to have that attitude of, here am I, send me. Is that the attitude you have this evening? Here am I, send me. Here am I, let me go through it. Why not me? Because I want to show you what it is to live for God and glorify Him every day. Here am I, send me. Maybe this evening you're not yet a child of God. You're on the bench. You're not in the game. You haven't dedicated your life to Him. And perhaps it's time to get off the bench and dedicate your life to Him. To do what He would have you to do. Live for Him every day. To believe in Him. Believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Be willing to repent of your sin. Confess His name. Be buried with Him in baptism. Or tonight, as a child of God, it's time to stop constantly having that woe is me and why me attitude. And instead, why not me? And Lord, here am I, send me. Maybe there are things in your life that you need to change, and if we can help you in any way, we ask you to come now. As together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.